Maybe in the church, there's something as a church we're looking forward to. Well, for the Israelite people, the day had come for them to look forward to a massive event in their lives. They were about to enter the promised land. You remember, they'd left Egypt, they'd been in the desert for a long time, and now they're about to enter the promised land. A really big thing for them in the future. And maybe you want to think of some promised land that's waiting for you or for the church in the future. We're looking at the crossing of the Jordan today. Just to remind you that last time we looked at Joshua 1:1-9, and we saw God's choosing of Joshua. We noticed that he was a different generation to Moses, that the people of today think very differently to the people of 1970 or 1980, and it's often called the Joshua generation because they understand the world better than we old toppies do. We also saw that Joshua was told to be strong, and we saw what it meant to be strong in the Lord. Be strong and courageous for this task, this new thing you've got to do. And we also saw that he was told to remain biblical, to keep this book of the law always on your lips, to meditate on it day and night. So that's Joshua. Today we're going to see the people safely across the Jordan. And as we do it, let's keep in mind what rivers we might have to cross, what Jordans we might have to cross, whether it's at home, in our personal lives, at work, or in the country, or in the church. What are the rivers we have to cross? And let's learn from Joshua leading the people across this river. And we're going to look at it in the light of Joshua's leadership. We're going to look at five qualities of leadership that Joshua had. And as we do it, you can ask yourself what leadership you are doing, also in the home, in the church, in the country, at work, and see what we can learn from leadership when we have to cross big things and look forward to new exciting things in the future. So first of all, Joshua's leadership was clear leadership. Joshua chapter 1 verse 10, Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord is giving you. Quite clear instructions. Pack your bags, 3 days' time, we are going to move. So there was absolute clarity about the direction they were going. And that's the kind of leadership we look for in the church and in the other areas, the home, the country, our work. But they're different styles of leadership. Joshua was a big, dynamic leader. You knew Joshua was there and you followed him. Remember, Moses was a leader and he handed over to Joshua. Two big leaders. Not all leadership is like that. Many of you will know Nicky Gumbel and his dynamic style of leadership. What you might not know is that before Nicky Gumbel at the church was someone called Sandy Miller, who's very quiet, but he was a real leader. So there's different styles of leadership. You don't have to be dynamic to be a clear leader. And then the other thing that's interesting is that the preference in the New Testament is not for one single leader. Remember what Paul said to Timothy? Timothy was starting churches and looking after churches. He said, appoint elders, plural. We had a meeting yesterday of six leaders of the church, the council, and there's incredible strength and wisdom in being six people together to lead a church. The leadership was clear. It doesn't matter whether it's one strong leader or a quiet leader or a dynamic leader, preferably many leaders, but let's look for clear leadership in the church. Let's look for clear leadership at home, if you're leading at the home, in your home, clear leadership at work, and clear leadership in the country. Secondly, it was faithful leadership. This is, if you read chapter 1, verses 12 to 18, Joshua made plans for 2.5 tribes, the tribe of Gad, the tribe of Reuben, and the tribe of Manasseh. Remember, there are 12 tribes, and the way from Egypt, you went through the desert and you came around, so you came to Israel, the promised land, from the eastern side. And some of the tribes had a discussion with Moses and said, we want to stay here. And Moses made a plan with them. And Joshua was faithful to that plan. Joshua didn't say, look, that's Moses' plan, I've got other plans. He was faithful to what had been said before. And we look for leaders who are faithful, who keep their promises. Now, there's certain things about promises. It's one thing to forget completely, as many of you will know. You can forget things. It's totally different to remember and not keep a promise. And we need to be careful, obviously, about the promises we make. It's very easy to say something. I'm aware that I said something last week in a rash moment, and it's not going to be so easy to fulfill it exactly how I said, but I'm going to try and fulfill it because it's a promise that I had meant from my heart, but the details were wrong. My dad once promised me that when I turned 18, he would give me a racing car. So I told all my friends in grade 7, when I turn 80, I'm getting a racing car. Well, I didn't get a racing car. My dad had no intention of giving me a racing car. I was probably an irritable 12-year-old, and he said, I'll get you a racing car when you're 18. And I took it very seriously. So we need to be careful of the promises we made and to be faithful to them. Moses and Joshua were faithful to the promises. They didn't change their mind. They said they'd do something, and they did it. And we need to be held accountable as your church leaders to be faithful to what we've committed ourselves to. And the country needs to be held accountable. There's going to be election promises. All the parties are going to make election promises. How do we hold them accountable to what they promise for us? And in our family and home and work, we want to be people who are faithful leaders. Thirdly, it was responsible leadership. He had a big task. There is an unknown land. So what does he do? He sent out spies. And that's what Rosemary read for us, the account of the spies going. I'm always a bit want to know why they ended up in a harlot's house, in a prostitute's house. But let's not go down that road. What they did take the trouble was to spy out the land. Now, that's the kind of leadership we want. We want people who are responsible. If we're going to ask the church to move there, or you're going to ask your family to move to that place, or your work's going to move there, or the country's going to move there, you want to know that the people who are leading you are responsible. They've done the spying out. Are you going to be spies for the Lord? You know what I mean by that? Are you going to use your different gifts so that we can make good decisions as a church? I'm sure that's what you do at work. You have different gifts so you can make good decisions. You spy out the land. When I go hiking, I want someone responsible to be my leader. I don't want someone to stand on the top of the mountain and say, I think that's the way down. No, I don't want that. I want someone who knows the way down. That's a responsible leadership. People who've taken the trouble to check where they're leading us. Fourthly, it was spiritual leadership. What they did when they got to the river, the first thing they said was, get the ark of the Lord in the front. Now, the ark of the Lord was a box that symbolized the Lord's presence. And that's an incredible picture of how to lead, with God's presence in front. That's what Joshua did. It was a spiritual leadership. I want God to be in front. That's the kind of leadership we all need to exercise, the kind of life we need to live where we put God in front. There's no ark. We don't have an ark today, but we want God's very presence to lead us where we're going. It was spiritual because of the ark. It was spiritual because the people were told to consecrate themselves, to make themselves holy, to make themselves pure, to make themselves dedicated for the task. Set yourself, consecrate yourself, set yourself aside to be for the Lord in this task. Consecrated leadership. People all wanting to serve the Lord with purity and zeal. And it was spiritual because they had courageous faith in the supernatural. You know what what Joshua did? He put the ark in front and he said, walk across the river. And the river was in flood. And something supernatural happened. The river stopped. And it built up and they walked through. Now, how much of that do I expect in the church, in my life, and how much do you expect to have courage for the supernatural? That's spiritual leadership at its best, isn't it? I can't do this, but God can. To have courageous faith, to have that kind of spiritual leadership where we do the equivalent of saying, we trust you, God. We're going to put the ark there. We're going to let you go ahead so that you can do what we cannot do. So the leadership was clear. It was responsible. I've left out something, haven't I? It was faithful and it was spiritual. And lastly, it was successful. You get to chapter 4, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan. It was successful leadership. They set a target, they listened to the Lord, and it was successful. So I've got three things in conclusion. First of all, this is the type of leadership to pray for, in both senses of the word, to pray for. We pray that we'll get leaders like that in the country and in the church, and we pray for the leaders we've got, that there'll be this kind of leadership, faithful, responsible, spiritual. Secondly, this is the type of leadership to aspire to. Are you sitting here saying, Brian, you've spoken about leadership, you've spoken about Joshua, but that's not me? I hope you didn't say that. Because somewhere there's a leadership position for you to go into, surely, at work, at home. Some leadership you can do. I know we can't all be leaders, but let's aspire to leaders. Remember when Paul wrote to Timothy about elders, he said it's a good thing to be an elder. It's a good thing to want to lead. So let's aspire to leadership. And this is the kind of leadership to follow, because as you follow this kind of leadership, you're following God. And that's where we all want to be. In the end, however we get there, whatever the leadership style is like for a church, for your home, for your work, for your country, what we want to do is be following God. We want God to be our leader. Let's follow him.
Let's pray. Oh, Father, what is a privilege it is to be here this morning, to start the day with the most beautiful worship, with praise, with song, with a sermon. Lord, it is as though heaven touches earth in a unique way. When we come into your presence, when we know that all our fears, our insecurities, our regrets are washed away. Lord, we know that as we sing and as we lift our hands, you brush our fingertips. And we know that the Israelites rejoiced and sang and were encouraged to sing those beautiful songs of ascent, that David danced and played instruments, and that there is a time to let go and to celebrate who you are. Yet, Father, there is a time too to remember those crucial promises that you have made, to recall everything you have said and to meditate on it. And Lord, in some way, in my heart today, I just feel that here at St. Barnabas, we too need to spend time in silence, in listening, shmaing, as the Hebrew word says, shmaing what you have to say to us, waiting upon you, then acting, then obeying, and then stepping into that Jordan River in faith and knowing that the past is finished. You have led us out of slavery. You have led us from exile. You are leading us from all the distractions of this world that hinder us, that take our focus off you, Jesus. All the materialism, all the stuff that the world throws at us on a daily basis, the social media. Lord, there is so much. There is even the electioneering that has begun. All the political posturing that will take up time. But you have led us from that because we are different. We are children of God. We need to spend more time in your presence, listening, waiting, and obeying. Father, I thank you for our leadership in this church, for each one. I thank you that there are many leaders in this church. I pray that gifts will be discerned, that this will be a place that there will be clear decisions that are made. All those points that Brian have made, that we will be faithful and sticking to the word and protecting the word, guarding it. Because the word we speak out in the name of the Lord never returns void. It is precious. So Yeshua HaMashiach, as we go forwards into this new year with a sense of excitement, of anticipation, of what you are preparing for us, we will rejoice. We will praise you. We will worship you. But Lord, I pray that we will sit before you, that we will make time just for you alone. Because, Lord, then we will be surprised. You'll be surprised at what you can do in our lives and with our lives, and glorify you, Jesus. And I pray this all in your magnificent name, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, our Messiah. Amen.